You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network as the countdown is getting real, or Super Bowl 51 rapidly approaching. We're midweek right now. We're going to be breaking it down as we have on a daily basis. We keep on finding more and more and more props for you. And we've got a gentleman who's going to be joining us in a couple of minutes that knows a thing or two about winning props. Mark Lawrence will join us. Playbook.com. Mark's so good, the USA Today newspapers asked him to write a column for this week's Super Bowl. Mark Lawrence joins us. We'll take a look at some trends, some historical perspective from a betting perspective from past Super Bowls. We'll get some prop picks from Mr. Mark Lawrence as well. So Mark knows about picking props for the Super Bowl. We're also going to be joined by a man who knows a thing or two about playing in a Super Bowl, played in numerous Super Bowls, and in fact, he was a Super Bowl most valuable player. Randy White will step up in it and join us. Former Dallas Cowboys legend, Randy White. And, you know, really, one of the toughest men ever to play the game. Like, seriously, he played 14 years in the National Football League. He missed one game. He missed one game in 14 seasons, and he was one of the most physical players ever in the history of the sport. Walter Payton said, when asked, who hit you the hardest in your career? Randy White. Ron Jaworski, you know why he's called Jaws? Because Randy White broke his freaking jaw. All right? Randy White, as badass as they get. Hey, I'm glad we're doing this over the phone, actually, you know, because, you know, he's a scary dude, and he's actually actually a pretty good fighter as well. He said that he got offered money to fight Butterbean, but it wasn't enough money, so he didn't do it. Randy White, a.k.a. the Chuck Norris of the NFL, is going to join us on the program today. Greg Sussman will join us. Fantasy Sports Network's very own Greg Sussman, sportsgrid.com. We'll talk some props and some Super Bowl festivities with Mr. Greg Sussman as well. So, yeah, we're real football heavy today. We're not even faking. I got a bunch of basketball picks for you a little bit later on. But since we are so Super Bowl heavy on today's program, let me take time out of the opening of the program to talk a little NBA basketball. Now, I got to be honest with you. I never thought I'd be standing here giving you an opening monologue to the program in which I would be defending LeBron James. All right. Over the years, I've been asked a million freaking times if I had a penny for every time somebody asked me, why do you hate LeBron James as much as you do? I'd be a very, very rich man. I've never hated LeBron James. You know, it's like the Sloan song. It's not the band I hate, it's their fans. As far as LeBron James was concerned, I didn't like the rush to anointment of him being the king, all right? I took offense to that. I took offense to a lot of younger people that don't know any better, saying about how, you know, LeBron James, the greatest player ever, right? He's better than Michael Jordan, right? Better than Magic Johnson, etc. Better than Wilt Chamberlain, better than Bill Russell. You know, that's a problem right now in the society in which we live, okay? Justin Bieber might have more downloads on iTunes than the Beatles does, but it doesn't mean he's better than the freaking Beatles. Everybody always wants to make today's everything the greatest game ever, the greatest fighter ever, the greatest player ever. You don't know, man, all right? You got to take a historical perspective and look back when it's all said and done. I didn't like LeBron James and the way he handled the decision, and I'm taking my talents, and the way that he put a knife in Cleveland's back. It was his right to leave, but it was the way that he went about it. You know, I didn't think that he was called out enough for never taking a big shot late in a basketball game, which he used to not do. I didn't think he got called out enough when he got sweated out and he tapped out against the San Antonio Spurs in the finals. So, yes, I have been critical of him in the past. Yet, if you're not paying attention, Charles Barkley and LeBron James have quite a feud going. And LeBron James stays pretty low, all right? He stays pretty low, and, you know, when they go when they go low, we go high, to phrase Michelle Obama, so to speak. That's sort of LeBron's mantra, all right? But finally, he's had enough. Of course, last week, LeBron James started bitching about the Cleveland Cavaliers, about how players have to step up and they have to get some players in here, and etc. You know, whip-dee-doo. Like, really? Like I talked about yesterday. That's a controversy? Of course he's pissed off. They had lost 6 or 7 games. He was upset. Fine. Charles Barkley, though, has been a consistent LeBron James hater over the years, but last time I checked, LeBron James has accomplished more in his career in like one season than Charles Barkley accomplished in all the seasons. Charles Barkley is a great television analyst, but him calling out LeBron James and giving LeBron James advice is like me telling Jim Rome what to do. All right? Yeah, Rome's on TV, I'm on TV. Who's been more successful? You know, you're an entertaining dude, Charles Barkley, but LeBron comes out freaking swinging. He says, you know what? Screw Charles Barkley. He says, I'm not the one that once threw somebody through a window. I'm not the one that got sued for $400,000 for not paying my gambling bills in Las Vegas, Nevada. Ooh, that's some Springer. Whoa, Jerry, Jerry, Jerry. Whoa, LeBron comes out swinging. And I was thinking, too, I was reading this, and I'm like, oh, man, is he going to go for the next one? Go for the next one. As we can't forget about the time that Charles Barkley was drunk driving, and he got pulled over by the police, and he admitted that he was on the way to see a hooker who was great at oral sex. We can't forget about that one. Now, can we? Now, the fact of the matter is, LeBron James is now the king. Even I acknowledge that he is the king. Is he the king of all time? No. But he is the living king right now. He's the most consistent player in the NBA. You can't take away anything from his accomplishments. He's won multiple championships in multiple different freaking cities. Last time I remember, you were choking in the NBA Finals against the Bulls, Chuck. So ultimately, you know, this isn't a battle that you're going to win. Dwayne Wade steps up and in and comes swinging out Charles Barkley as well. Charles Barkley was a real good player, but dude, your nickname was the Mound Round of freaking Rebound, all right? Not the king. You got multiple championships, and Charles Barkley, as entertaining as he is, he's clearly upset a lot of people and a lot of players, and so much so that last week, Shaquille O'Neal, in defense of LeBron James, told Charles Barkley, what do you know about defending a title? Ooh, Jerry. Shaq said, you don't know anything about winning a championship. You don't know what it's like to try to defend a title you never even won. Charles Barkley not only upsetting current NBA players, but upsetting Shaq Diesel as well. I got to tell you what, I might disagree with Charles Barkley, but I'll be tuning in Thursday night to see what he has to say. Game Time Decisions continues. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues, as does the countdown to Super Bowl 51 Media Day today in Houston, Texas. We're breaking it down. We're going to be hitting props and everything else in between. Greg Sussman, SportsGrid.com, and Fantasy Sports Network. Greg Sussman will join me. Mark Lawrence bats leadoff. And in between, we have one of the toughest men ever to play in the National Football League with us. And a Super Bowl co-MVP, actually. Shared it with his teammate, Harvey Martin. All right, so we are now joined by Mark Lawrence, who, of course, remembers Randy White very well. And, Mark, you know, we're going to play that the old-school Miller Lite commercials, but they don't make commercials or football players like they used to, I got to tell you.
No, they certainly don't. I go back to Mean Joe Green, that great Super Bowl ad that he did, the player that he was. And, you know, nothing is the same as it used to be, that's for sure. But it'd be nice when you have these guys in your show here today, catch up, reminisce, and get ready for Super Bowl 51.
Yeah, it's amazing. He played unbelievable. 14 season, only missed one game, man. How tough these guys were in the old days. But nevertheless, the New England Patriots are attempting to step into elite territory. It's, you know, one of the all-time great franchises. It's amazing what they've accomplished since their first Super Bowl. But the line just remains the same, Mark. And this, you know, reminds me, actually, it's like America itself right now, or like a Supreme Court case. It's almost split down the middle. You know what I mean? Like, you get Patriot backers, you got Falcon backers, you got people making legitimate arguments for both teams.
You do. It's not like a Donald Trump situation here in the U.S. where everybody's all on one side against another. This is a dead even matchup. It appears, at least on paper here, the odds makers felt the same thing, Gabe, when they made New England a 3-point favorite in the football game. As we talked earlier last week, before they played those conference championship games, New England was a 6-point favorite over Atlanta. So there's been a lot of support for the Atlanta Falcons here this week in what should be a real good Super Bowl game.
All right, let's start off with some numbers here. You know, the Patriots, 4-2 straight up in Super Bowls with Tom Brady. The two losses to the New York Giants, but what's interesting, just 2-4 against the spread, Mark, and Tom Brady 0-4 against the spread as a favorite. Short number here, though, because in past numbers, so in reality, he would actually be, he'd have three pushes and one loss with this number, Mark. Three Super Bowl wins by 3 points, and of course, you know, we had the 4-point win against the Seahawks, but point is, he's 0-4 as a favorite, but only laying 3 points here. They did lay 2.5 to the Giants as well, so Brady hasn't been automatic money at the window, even though he wins some of these games.
No, he hasn't. It's been the game plan of the New England Patriots with Brady and Belichick to play a conservative brand of football in the Super Bowl games. He just wants to win the football game, get out. They're not looking to rub anything in anybody's face. He just wants to put together the best game plan he can to put the W up on the scoreboard. And as you say, Brady 0-4 to the spread as a favorite in Super Bowl games, 2-0 to the spread as a dog. But this is an awfully short price, as you said.
All right. So, you know, the Falcons have only played in one Super Bowl, 33-19. They lost to the Denver Broncos. We hear the defense wins championships over and over again, Mark. And, you know, you need to be able to score. You need to be diverse, you know, like a poor stock portfolio. It's got to be diverse. And that's, to me, why the Patriots have the advantage inside the numbers when we're talking about the third highest scoring offense in the National Football League, the number one scoring defense in the NFL. If you want to break down the real numbers, they're ranked 8th overall defensively. Then you look at the, you know, the Falcons. Yeah, we know they're a juggernaut on offense, but when it gets to the big game, generally defense does beat offense, and it has in the Super Bowl historically.
It sure has, Gabe. In fact, you look at this is the 6th matchup, or I should say will be the 7th matchup, of number one scoring defense taking on number one scoring offense, and the defense has prevailed. They've won 5 of those 6 times, both straight up and against the spread, so it goes hand in hand with the old mantra that defense does win championship games.
You know, clearly both teams, and what's interesting, neither of them turn the football over. They've both only turned the football over 11 times all season, and it's an incredibly low amount, especially for the Falcons, considering just how aggressive they are on offense, that they haven't turned it over. They're both, Brady and Ryan are number one and number two, respectively, against the blitz as well. So it's very, very hard to get to Tom Brady. And as you wrote, Mark, in the playbook, only been sacked 24 times. And what crazy to me, he's only hit 73 times. Now, he only played 12 games, but nevertheless, he's only hit 73 times. Matt Ryan hit 106 times. Been sacked 37 times. Pressure on the quarterback will be key, and I think that the Patriots can get pressure easier, even though the Falcons have Beasley. I don't see them getting much pressure on Brady.
I don't see them either. You know, he'll protect him like a fortress. That, you know, this is the game that he knows his ticket to the Super Bowl championship is Tom Brady, and he'll protect him at all costs, as you mentioned here. They haven't done much. The league hasn't getting Tom Brady that way. And turnovers, you mentioned, is a huge key in this football game. The Atlanta Falcons only one turnover the last 6 football games, and you go back the last 5 games for the New England Patriots. 4 times in those last 5 games, 0 turnovers for the Patriots. So this should be a pretty clean football game as we see it being played out in the field.
You know what's really crazy, Mark? And I know you love numbers. You're, you know, your database, you're a numbers guy. You know, the last time the Super Bowl was in Houston, 2003, the Patriots were there. They had a 16-2 record going into the game, Mark. They got shut out by the Buffalo Bills earlier in the season. And, you know, the Patriots haven't trailed since week 12 against the Jets. When they went to the Super Bowl in 2003, they hadn't trailed, you know, since week 12. 2012 as well. Pretty crazy similarities.
Yeah, sort of a deja vu, if you will, maybe perhaps all over again for New England here after that shutout loss to the Buffalo Bills. We can hit another aspect here about giving Bill Belichick extra time to get ready for this football game. I mean, he's got an extra week to prepare here, and we all remember what he did against Kurt Warner and the greatest game on turf, the Rams back in Super Bowl 25. It was when he completely took them out of their game. The Buffalo Bills, Jim Kelly, he rendered him ineffective as well. So you're giving Bill Belichick extra time to get ready for this football game here. I think that could end up being the key in the contest.
All right, Mark, one thing that really catches my eye, and once again, I give you props for last year for being on the right side with the Denver Broncos against the Panthers, Cam Newton, league MVP. And we've seen this. We saw it this year with Lamar Jackson with the Heisman Trophy. Heisman Trophy winners struggle in bowl games. National Football League MVPs in Super Bowls, 6-13 straight up, 5-12-2 against the spread. There's something to that there. That's an unbelievable number like that, Mark.
There is. In fact, if you go back the last six games running, it's 0-6 straight up and the spread since 2002. They've really bitten the curse, if you will, these MVP quarterbacks. That probably doesn't bode well for Atlanta, Matty Ryan here, but I can say this, it's a caveat. The MVP award hasn't been awarded yet. They're going to announce it on Super Bowl Eve, and heaven forbid if Tom Brady ends up pulling up to winning the MVP. All bets off.
Yeah, very, very good point. I don't know. Since he was suspended, I think the Matt Ryan love is pretty big right now. So, yeah, we can go on and on with the numbers. But, that's an interesting one with the Super Bowl, the regular season MVP. And another one, quickly, and I want to get to your USA Today column. The one that catches my eye, and as a Buffalo Bill fan, I remember this as well. When we beat the Raiders in the AFC Championship game in 91, we put up 51 points, Mark. They scored like 38 against the Dolphins and Dan Marino. They put up 51-3 beatdown. And I was wondering, man, did we peak too soon? And history tells us this, actually, in which teams who score 40 or more in championship games are just 2-6 against the spread in Super Bowls. It's very hard to, like, rattle it up 3 weeks in a row in the playoffs and put up those crazy numbers. And if memory serves me correctly, didn't Carolina score a million points going into the Super Bowl last year?
That's exactly what they did. They were in the same identical situation last year, and if you want to take it deeper into the playoffs, let alone just the championship games, any team in the playoffs who puts up 40 or more points in a game is just 24-1 to the spread in the next playoff game. That's a big, big, tall hurdle to ask a team to be that effective, high-scoring, back-to-back playoff games. So that's a big, huge hurdle I think Atlanta has to face in this contest as well.
All right, Mark, let's talk about the Super Bowl MVP, and I find some interesting numbers here. Let's talk about your props, and you write about this in the USA Today. Check it out. What's interesting about this, and this isn't endorsements of these sports books. They're not our sponsors or anything like that, but we tell you guys that there's a certain time of the year in which it's good to have options, and the prop numbers are different, especially at the Super Bowl. So let's start off with the Super Bowl MVP over at Bovada, Brady +160. That's craziness, because if the Patriots win the Super Bowl, there's a damn good chance that Brady's going to be the most valuable player. Five of the last seven MVPs have been quarterbacks. I don't see how Brady isn't the MVP of this game. That's a great number over there for this prop.
It is. You're talking about a quarterback that's won 13 of his 14 starts this season here, and you hit it right on the head. If you like New England in the football game, you'd probably want to look at Brady to win the MVP award, because if they are hoisting that trophy, it's going to be Tom Brady hoisting the trophy, and he is the guy who most likely would be the MVP. I like him at any kind of a price in this prop, whether it's pick -110, any kind of a dog, but Bovada offered the best odds. That's why we've quoted the +160.
Yeah, they might have lower limits, and that's another thing, guys. They try to reel you in. Oh, my God, they have this this prop like this, and then they punch you in the mouth with a bad number later on with something else. But James White to score a touchdown, I'm fascinated by this. I actually think that James White is going to catch some passes out of the backfield in this football game. I think he's going to be involved.
I think he will, too, in this game as well, Gabe. Atlanta, the number 26th team ranked in pass defense against running backs this year. You know, Belichick is very well aware of that. So you have a combination of James White, Deion Lewis, maybe to get the job done here. But I like James White here. I like him to find the end zone here. You're getting $3 plus $300 with this particular prop. And I think he ends up, I think this is an excellent value prop, if you will, James White to score a touchdown anytime in the game.
Yeah, plus $300. It's pretty much that everywhere, but this one's at Bet Online. Julian Edelman, plus +110 to score a touchdown. You know, I'm not so sure this game goes over the number. It's an incredibly high number. But with that being stated, there are going to be some points put up on the board. I think this game's going to hit the mid-50s. And if the Patriots are going to score a touchdown, there's probably a pretty good chance that Edelman will find the end zone.
I would think so. He's Brady's go-to guy, his top wide receiver. There's a likelihood we might see him returning punts in this football game here as well. So, and as we mentioned here, he's a former college quarterback, and he's got the IQ of a quarterback. I think he's the most dangerous weapon on this New England football team outside of Tom Brady here. And I think between him and James White, you're getting plus and plus on both props here. I think I would play Edelman and White each to score a touchdown.
Great point. White and Edelman both at plus money. All right, back to James White, over under 22.5 receiving yards.
Yeah, that ties back into that Atlanta 26th-ranked pass defense against running backs here. I think if he gets those running yards, if he finds the end zone, he'll lug it that way. You got to lay a quarter on this prop here. I'm not crazy about laying a prop here, but I think he's their most effective weapon out of the backfield in this game.
You know, Mark, I'm reading your USA Today column. We just put it up on the screen, and check out playbook.com on your mobile device over to Google Store. You could get all this great information, but for free over at USA Today. Closing thoughts, Patriots, that they don't score a touchdown in the first quarter. I like where you're going at, Mark, because I personally like the under 13.5 in the first quarter. I think it's going to be a feel-out process, and I think Belichick's going to run the ball early and try to milk the clock. You know, he's not getting into a track meet here. I like under 13.5 in the first quarter, which is sort of correlated with your no Patriots touchdown here.
It does. It correlates also with Bill Belichick nickel and diming this defense. That's what all Matt Ryan's going to see, is a nickel-dime defense here like Jim Kelly saw, and they're going to force him to put the ball into the running back's hands here. But going back to the prop, New England not scoring a touchdown in the first quarter, 6 Super Bowls with Bill Belichick, 0 points for New England in the first quarter. Never have they scored a point in the first quarter of a Super Bowl. You tie that all to the defense and the extra time to prepare. That's my sneaky prop, New England not to score a touchdown.
We encourage people to check out Mark Lawrence's playbook for his final selections and prop picks. He's going to have a ton of them. Mark, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for the time.
Hey, my pleasure, Gabe. Enjoy the game. Be good. I'll catch you next week.
All right, there's Mark Lawrence with us. And he also likes Matt Ryan under 320 passing yards. So he likes Tom Brady to win the MVP and Matt Ryan under passing yards. I wonder who Mark Lawrence likes to win this football game. Game time decisions continues. Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Thanks to Mark Lawrence for joining us on the program. Randy White will join us in a couple of moments. Time, man, there's just so many props, and you know, there's only so much money that we all have in our accounts to be able to hit these props. It's such a tough game to predict what the New England Patriots are going to do and who they're going to give the football to their running backs. But I think we have a common theme here, but it almost scares me because we're all a bunch of idiots. And we're all convinced that the New England Patriots are just going to run the football and try to take the air out of the clock a little bit and keep the Atlanta Falcons offense on the sidelines, which means no doubt that Brady's going to come out firing, right? But very, very interesting, isn't it, that Mark Lawrence brings up the Patriots, 6 Super Bowls, 0 touchdowns with Tom Brady in the first quarter. Always slow starts, and I've been talking about this. I really do like the under 13.5 in the first quarter, and I'm going to have to give my picks, and I'm going to give my full picks for the Super Bowl, my final score prediction and everything on Friday. But with that being stated, you know, it's like Lenny said in The Simpsons, you know, that's why pencils have erasers. That's why there's live in-game betting, because I'm telling you what, guys, the total is freaking high, and I know everybody is, oh, the Atlanta Falcons offense, and if you use your eyeballs, like the eyeball test, as they say, the Falcons offense looks unstoppable. Like, even the Patriots defense can have a hard time dealing with all these, all the weapons that they have. But you take that out of the equation when it gets to the Super Bowl, man. You know, the Rams offense was awesome and better than the Falcons offense was. They sputtered. The Carolina Panthers last year, and you know, last year's game is really sticking with me so much with the similarities between the two teams and the Falcons and the Panthers. Like, the Panthers offense was a juggernaut last year. It was the number one offense in the NFL. What happened when they got to the Super Bowl? They hit the wall. And you know, the New England Patriots' experience in this situation has me leaning. Basically, like, logic tells me that the Patriots win. My eyeballs are like, man, you know, the Falcons can win this football game. But I do think it's going to be a lower scoring game out of the gate. So instead of betting the over early in this game, I think you wait it out, man. I think it'll be a low scoring first quarter. So the Patriots get the ball, they run the ball, they punt, and it sort of goes back and forth a little bit. It's not going to be a track meet. What was the score with the Packers and the Falcons the other day? It was 10-0 after the first quarter. All right, 13.5. That's two touchdowns. And we have historical data here that tells us that the Patriots, zero touchdowns in 6 Super Bowls in the first quarter with Tom Brady. Now, I've got a long list of props. We're going to go over them with Greg Sussman as well. Now, from Mark Lawrence's column here, Dave Malinsky, who's a regular guest with us, produced a couple of props. So the first kickoff by Gaskowski result in a touchback. He says no. And this is an interesting one, actually. This is flying under the radar, but Gostkowski's really sick, actually. And he's been unable to practice this week. Can you imagine if they have to pull in a kicker right now? Like, you know, hey, kid, yeah, we need you for the Super Bowl. But Gostkowski's going to be good. You know, saying no on the kickoff, I kind of like that one, actually. Malinsky, total field goals, over under 3.5. He believes under 3.5 in this. I like the long field goal prop. I see that Las Vegas has it at 47.5. All right. You can get this one. You can get this one at various other places, and we're not in Vegas for this year's Super Bowl. So I see 45.5. I think it gets there, man. Matt Bryan's been absolutely like lethal for an old dude, man. The dude doesn't miss. Gostkowski is better right now. They said it's not going to be a problem. You're going to have perfect weather conditions, obviously, in this stadium. So I think 45.5 is a good one right there as well. Now, as far as the touchdown scores are concerned, you know, to me, I liked where Lawrence was going with this, with James White. Now, personally, I like the James White. I like the James White over 22.5, all right, receiving yards. I do think he's going to catch three, four, five balls out of the backfield, but I like Deion Lewis to score a touchdown. I think Deion Lewis is going to score a touchdown, and I don't know if it was Sincada that brought it up last week, but he said he thinks they're going to start off more with White and Lewis and then, you know, bring in Blunt more later as the game progresses to try to wear out the Atlanta Falcons. All right. So let's welcome a man who, like I said earlier in the program, like he's the Chuck Norris of the NFL. All right. Like, one of the toughest guys ever to play in the league. 14 seasons, missed one freaking game, 9-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl MVP, and made some pretty damn good commercials as well. The one and only Randy White joins us. Dallas Cowboys in the house. Randy, welcome to the Fantasy Sports Network. How you doing, man?
I'm doing wonderful, man. I appreciate y'all having me on here today. I've been running around this media row down here doing some interviews today. So I've been on the go since this morning, but I'm glad to have a chance to visit with y'all.
We appreciate it. It's an honor to have you on, sir. So let me ask you, your first Super Bowl, Pittsburgh Steelers, right, Orange Bowl, what was media day like? Like 9 guys, 10 guys? What was media day like then?
I don't remember exactly what it was, but I think it was at the stadium, and each player stood out there, and the guys that they wanted to talk to, they all went and asked them questions. And you know, the guys like us, we were rookies. We didn't hardly have anybody in our line. They didn't want to talk to us. No. Roger Staubach and that crew, they all, Roger and them, Leroy and that old crew had a lot of people talking.
You know, I had one of your former teammates on, Drew Pearson, and we were talking about the Super Bowl against the Broncos, and he didn't even realize that was the first Super Bowl played in the evening, and they sort of went big, right, in the Superdome. And, you know, so you sort of saw the progression of the Super Bowls get bigger year by year, didn't you?
Well, yes, the Super Bowl has gotten huge. I mean, I had an opportunity to go last year for that 50th anniversary, and then now being down here in Houston, I mean, it took me an hour and a half. I drove down here last night, and it took me an hour and a half to get to Hilton Hotel. They got the whole downtown shut off. I mean, this thing is huge.
Yeah, next to the White House, it's the safest place in America right now. You know, without...
Oh, yeah, they got this thing on lockdown. They got more dogs sniffing you and more people walking around with uniforms. Yeah, they got this thing wired up.
You better have ID, Randy, because, you know, I was in the Super Bowl in Houston, actually, the last time, and I didn't have my proper credentials. And I was like, come on, man, you've seen me doing my show here all week on Media Row. I looked over, and they wouldn't let Lynn Swann in without ID. And I was like, man, I'm screwed. If they're not letting Lynn Swann in, I'm not getting in.
Yeah, you're in trouble. If they don't let Lynn Swann in, then they're not going to let anybody in, you know. But, yeah, they do a great job, you know, up there. I did something with the Wounded Warriors and the service dogs. They're trying to create some awareness, through the Blue Diamond dog food, sponsoring it. And, I think we hit about 20 different media outlets. And, geez, that whole room was full of television and everything else. I never saw anything like that.
So let me ask you, a lot of people are saying that Tom Brady, win or lose on Sunday, is the greatest quarterback ever. Where do you rank Tom Brady? And do you believe that Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback ever?
Well, you know, it's hard to say who's the greatest quarterback ever. You know, and I sure admire Tom Brady, but I played with Roger Staubach. I played against Joe Montana, Terry Bradshaw, on and on and on. And there's a lot of great players. But I tell you what, Tom Brady can say if he's not the best, he's one of the top of all time, and he has accomplished more than any other. If they win this game, he will have accomplished more than any other quarterback has in NFL history. And that in itself says, you know, he's got to be right up there being one of the greatest players that ever played a game of football. And, you know, I happen to be a fan of Tom Brady's and Belichick, too, because, you know, when they did that deflate thing against Tom Brady, that really made me mad because that had nothing to do with the outcome of that football game. And I think they just mad because Belichick and Brady keep winning all the time, and they didn't want them to win, so they were doing anything they could to hurt them.
And I'll tell you what, Randy.
That's my take on it.
I'm a Buffalo Bills fan, Randy, and I wish the league would just leave them the F alone right now because it just pisses them off and it motivates them more.
Well, sure it does. I mean, they're competitors, and, you know, you pick at them and they're going to come back at you harder.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to ask you, you lost your first Super Bowl appearance. How much does experience matter, you know, with a young Falcon team coming in here? They have some veterans, but for the most part, they got a lot of young dudes on this team. How much does experience matter? Were you more comfortable in your second and third Super Bowls as you went along?
I can honestly say that probably, the first Super Bowl when I was a rookie, I knew it was a big game in the World Championship, but when we went back and played Super Bowl XII, having gone through that experience and losing that Super Bowl and being a part of that and wanting to get a Super Bowl ring, yeah, I think the experience makes a difference, but it comes down to one-on-one battles. That's what this game's going to come down to, like every other game. The guy who wins the line of scrimmage is usually going to win the game. Now, if Atlanta can pressure Tom Brady the way they pressured Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, I tell you what, they got a chance. If they don't pressure Tom Brady, Belichick and Brady, they're gonna score 100 points. And, you know, same way, Matt Ryan, you know, And New England doesn't have the number one defense by accident. You know, they're great strategy. They take away the other team's strength. Now, Atlanta's got a lot of strengths. Matt Ryan, I think he's a great quarterback. You know, they got Julio Jones, but they got other guys can catch the ball. So it's going to create an interesting challenge for the New England Patriots on how they're going to defense this Atlanta team. So I think they have a chance in this football game.
Who do you like? Who do you think wins?
You know, I picked the over.
You're picking, you're thinking, yeah, you're going against the defense. You think it's going to be a track meet, huh? Up and down?
I think there are going to be a lot of points scored in this game.
You're talking to a man, Randy. That's, we talk spreads all day. You know, there's been 9 Super Bowls with a total of 50 or higher. 6-3 to the under, man. That 58.5, it just seems a little high to me, you know?
It's up there, I know. But I that's my personal feeling. I just think that they're going to score. They're going to score a lot of points. I think it's they're going to air it out. I think they're going to put that ball up in the air, and it's going to be a lot of big plays, and, you know, it's going to be a shootout.
You know, Randy, one thing I marveled. I grew up watching you play, and I have so much respect for your toughness that you brought to the table. And, you know, I never really realized just how technical you actually were. And I was watching the Get Into Game videos, and not only am I a gambling man, but I'm a big MMA guy as well. And,
right.
And it's so much like the tactics that you use on the line. It wasn't just like, you know, when you were playing, were you this like tactical as well? Did you even know what you're doing, or you almost realize after? Because I'm watching your video, you look like an MMA coach teaching a guy moves in a ring.
Well, we were fortunate. Our strength coach, Bob Ward, had a background in the JKD, Bruce Lee style of karate, with Danny Anasano. So we got Danny, he got Danny to come down to us, and we called it applied martial arts. So we took a lot of the fighting stuff out, but we still use a lot of the hand drills and the quickness and the awareness drills to apply it to football. And we used that. And that was a big part of my game, because they really changed the rules and they let these linemen stick their hands out. So the old pass rush moves, the arm over stuff, didn't work. So we had to come up with some more hand manipulations to be a more effective rushing the passer. And, you know, I applied that to my football. And, you know, I enjoyed it, and I trained Thai boxing until my knees got bad. And I trained the Filipino martial arts, Bikini Tertia. I'm really big into that now. You know, I don't do much of the kicking and the punching, but I do like to use the stick and the knife and, you know, just exercise with that.
That's what I said. You're the Chuck Norris. You're like Chuck Norris. You're the Chuck Norris of football. I'm telling you, Randy. You know, Chuck Norris, he's a badass and you're a badass. You're like the real, the real state ranger, so to speak. I also, I wanted to ask you, what did it mean to you to get inducted to the Hall of Fame with Tony Dorsett? You know, your Cowboys teams fascinated me so much with the different personalities, with you and Hollywood and Too Tall, and then you got a Navy guy and Roger Staubach, and you got a flashy rookie and Tony Dorsett. But what did it mean to get inducted into the Hall with a teammate like that?
Oh, it was special. You know, I mean, for what I did, play professional football, that's the highest honor you can receive, is being inducted into the in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And I share that honor with every one of my teammates. A lot of great guys. You know, I always, you know, Ed Jones and Harvey, and, you know, a lot of them guys I think should be recognized. And, you know, but it was a great, great honor. It's a humbling experience when you go up there and you stand up there and you go inside that room with all them busts in it. You see Ray Nitschke and Butkus and all those type guys, and your bust's going to be in there with them. It's a very humbling experience. It was for me.
Well, you know what? You were also part of another pretty exclusive club, and a pretty cool one, man. Growing up, I love Rodney Dangerfield. I love the Miller Lite commercials.
And oh, yeah.
We'll play it on the way out, actually. All right? We'll wrap it up with Randy a second. We'll play the commercial on the way out.
Joe Klecko and I.
Yeah.
Call him in, and Joe kicks him out.
That's great. Hey, get in the boat. Get in the boat. So what they have it do? Was there a guy just throwing fish at you guys?
Yeah, there was guys down in the water and they were throwing fish at us. And one of them, they kept hitting Joe with the fish in the head. And Joe looked down there and he said, the next one hits me with one of them fish in the head. I said, I'm coming in after you. we hurried up and got that segment over in the commercial.
How many takes did it take?
About 20.
About 20. Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude's getting the boat.
Hey, I kept getting the words wrong. I kept getting wrong the less filling beer that really tastes great. I kept getting it wrong, and the guy was on the, we were out in the middle of the water, and the guy was on the producer was on the side. And the guy kept saying, Randy, do you need some cue cards? And I said, if that guy says that one more time, I'm going to go over there and kick his butt. That's not what I said. But I said it, and it was on a microphone. Everybody could over there could hear it. And he said, Randy, everybody heard that. And the next take, I went, the less filling beer, that really tastes great.
Great, great stuff. We're getting the hook here, unfortunately, Randy. I'd love to do it again, man. Love these stories. Thanks so much for taking the time to be with us. Enjoy the big game this week. Ton of respect to you, sir. You're one of the greatest of all time, man.
Thank you, my friend. You have a good day.
There's Randy White with us. They don't come tougher than him. All right, on the way out here, this is the old Miller Lite commercial with him and Klecko. Now that we hear the story behind it, it's going to make it even better.
Me and Joe were two of the most feared players in football. But now we want to try more peaceful pursuits, like fishing. We brought along some cold Miller Lights. Lights not some watered-down version of a regular beer. It's a less filling beer that really tastes great.
You ready to try and catch a fish, Randy?
Okay, Joe, I'll go first. Hey, fish, get in the boat!
Boy, this fish is pretty easy.
It's no fish story. When it's Miller Lite, less filling tastes great.
Hey, that was too small. Get out of here!
Man, that was some great stuff with Randy White right there. Really, really enjoyed that. Thanks to him for joining us on the program for Media Row. Pretty good stuff. Hey, yesterday we had UFC champion Mighty Mouse Demetrius Johnson for Media Row. Today, Randy White. I didn't get a chance to ask him, why did he miss that one game? Why did he miss that one game? Played 14 seasons, only missed one game in his career. I want to know what happened in that game. Let's bring in Greg Sussman right now. SportsGrid.com, Fantasy Sports Network, who steps up. In. Greg, always a pleasure, man. How you doing?
Hey, Gabe. What's going on, man? You pumped for Sunday?
Yeah, and you know what? Yeah, I'm getting there. I'm getting there, actually. I'm having a hard time. I'm sort of flip-flopping and wavering with the actual game itself a little bit, though. Sure. But when it's all said and done, I'm having a hard time betting against Tom Brady this Sunday, Greg.
You can always say that, right? Like, it's always impossible to bet against Tom Brady because you just never feel good about it. It's the same old Peyton Manning theory, prime time theory with these guys. Like, you never want to bet against them because you're never going to feel good about it. It always sucks when they have the ball and your money's the other way.
Yeah, yeah. It's sort of like when the Yankees are good with Jeter.
Right.
They might lose, but, you know, do you really, you know, when they're getting it done, you're like, oh, God, why did I bet against these guys? Why did I bet against these guys again? But you've been taking a look at some of these props and some of the so-called silly props that a lot of us have access to over at bookmaker.eu, actually. The wardrobe malfunction, you know, pays pretty nice. Janet Jackson was in Houston. You know, there's a little bit of symmetry on that. But it's tough to decipher. Like, she has to get nude, basically, which I'm not so sure about that one, Greg.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think that, like, she could definitely be scantily clad, but the NFL has, like, insured for years and to make sure none of that comes close to happening again. I know it's in Houston. I know it's Lady Gaga, who's controversial in a way. She's not going to get nude or nearly nude enough for this bet to pay off.
You know what? There's always fine print with these props, though, Greg.
Right.
And earlier in the week, they didn't have some of this fine print up. And now this is a good example. All right, will Joe Buck or Troy Aikman mention that Tom Brady was drafted in the sixth round? Mm-hmm. You're figuring, yeah, it's got to come up once. And this quarterback that was drafted in the sixth round is now one of the all-time greatest.
But
if they say that when he's getting a trophy, you don't get paid. Read the fine print.
Yep.
From kickoff until the end of the game.
Yep. So, and that's important because it does sometimes, depending on the bet, halftime doesn't count either, right? Like, there's certain things that if they talk about Deflategate, if they talk about they show Giselle during halftime, that doesn't count. It's only while the game is going on. And that's something you have to absolutely watch out for before you place a bet.
All right. Well, Michael Vick be said during the broadcast, I see his yes, plus 211. I believe that he will. I see Aaron Hernandez Hernandez be mentioned.
Yep.
Aaron Hernandez will not be mentioned. There's no need to mention him. He hasn't been on the team for years. There's nothing prevalent to it. Michael Vick there is because Matt Ryan replaced Michael Vick.
Sure. Absolutely.
You know, but
before I would place any of these bets, honestly, I would go listen to Joe Buck on Howard Stern. He talked about all of this. He knows about the Aaron Hernandez bet. He says he's not going to say it. He knows about Deflategate. He knows about Michael Vick. He knows about all of this.
He knows about them, so he's controlling it.
Yes! He's like, there's nothing stopping me from putting money on it myself. Like, there's no rule on Fox. There's no rule in the NFL. I could go make myself a ton of money because I know what I'm going to do.
That's a great point. Yeah, you're messing with the integrity of the game. No, are you? Really? That's great. So what props do you like? One, in all seriousness, for one of the silly props, was will Lady Gaga honor, pay tribute, and play Prince or George Michael, David Bowie?
Right.
Leonard Cohen was on the list. I think she's going to. I think she'll play a medley of, like, George Michael and Prince. There's no way in hell she doesn't honor Prince. And you get that at, like, plus 250.
I don't think I would do that. I think if the game was in Minnesota, you'd have a chance of it. I know Lady Gaga has honored Bowie in the past, and she's honored Prince in the past. I think she's going to stick to herself. I think she's going to stick to her own set. She's got a ton of hits. And I think these people are all me people, right? Like Lady Gaga, she's not going to say anything about Donald Trump. She's just going to sing her own songs. And by the way, the prop that I like best, her hair. She's not one of these blue, red, orange hair people. She's just this gross blondness. It might not be real blonde, but she will be very, very blonde on Sunday.
You believe that? You know, I was thinking she should show some solidarity with the women's marchers and wear pink.
That's possible. A pink hat of some sort, but I still think her hair would be blonde.
Yeah, all right. Here's, you know, you're into ratings and stuff like this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Over under 117 million viewers. I looked up last year, it was like 111.5.
Yep.
You could say, well, you know, it's Tom Brady now, but I don't know. It seems like, you know, it's like getting water out of a towel. They might have gotten, like, there's only maybe 111 million people.
Sure.
I think under, actually, as high as it is.
I absolutely think under. I know last year this number was at 116, and as you said, it was a 111. I think the year before that, it was under that also. I don't think they've ever gotten to 117. And with cord cutters these days, people are watching the game different ways, following along on Twitter.
This is a lock. I just realized Fox is airing the game on fox.sports.com.
Sure. Of course.
Without any, but you know, sometimes,
Nielsen there.
Who's your cable provider, etc.? They didn't do it. It's the first time ever. They said, wherever you are in the world, we don't care. Log on to our website, you're going to get the game type of deal.
Yep.
Or at least in America, I should say. There might be some geo-block stuff. That's going to affect the numbers, too. This is actually a pretty good play. It's minus 240, but no way in hell they get 118 million people watching.
No way in hell. As you said, even though there's Tom Brady, there was Peyton Manning last year. I know Brady, Manning are always even.
Yeah, you're right.
Close to this number.
All right. So, unfortunately, we went a little long with Randy. We don't have time. So, quickly on the way out, who's going to win? What are your best props?
Give me New England. I think they win. I think they cover because I'm not betting against Brady. Like I said, I love the blonde hair. And tails never fails, Gabe. Remember that.
All right. I like that, too. I never bet heads. All right. Always a pleasure, Greg. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Gabe.
All right. We're going to come back with our plays of the day. Coming up next. All right, it's time for our plays of the day. We have quite a few of them. I like them all. Let's start off in the association. I'll tell you what, the Dallas Mavericks have actually been playing pretty good basketball as of late, even though they're beat up. It's unbelievable. And they're always getting a lot of points. They're like on a 9-5 ATS run. But the Philadelphia 76ers are on a torrid pace. Yeah, you know, they don't cover every night. But we're talking about, like, you know, it's been an epic three-week run for the Philadelphia 76ers. Got to take the 6 points. Clippers in the Suns. It's a short enough price. I think the Clippers can beat the Suns here. Georgia Tech and Clemson. Give me the 10.5 points, man. Yellow Jackets are playing great ball. Clemson are fading right now. Give me the 10.5. 10 is the word of the day, kids. Give me 10 points with the Friars. Providence, plus 10. Northwestern versus Purdue. Yeah, I know their leading scorer is out. I don't care. Give me plus 10. Kansas and Baylor. I'm going to lay the 6. Rock Chalk, Jayhawk, lay the points. We wrap it up with a torrid, red-hot Minnesota Wild team made a winner's be yours.